There we are.
Well, welcome everybody to another exciting, hopefully not too exciting edition of Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Robert Winters.
I'm Judy Nathans.
And today is January 19th. We are on the eve of inauguration.
Yes.
When we last met, we were on the eve of the Electoral College vote, and who would have thunk what was going to happen following day?
I know.
Yeah. So it's quite amazing. So I hope folks can see some of the, I put some of my political paraphernalia behind me. Some things from 1968 election. No vote is a vote for George Wallace. That's for the people who are going to boycott the election. They said, if you don't want to vote for Hubert Humphrey, well, that's as good as a vote for George Wallace.
Well, that's what happened with Hillary and Trump.
That's exactly
what happened. Yep.
I also have over this shoulder a George Wallace bumper sticker from that year. My favorite, probably my oldest little piece up here is Kennedy Johnson. That's an original from 1960.
You know,
and there's LBJ for the USA, as well as a Goldwater Miller here.
True elector, what do you call these? Election paraphernalia
or memorabilia.
That's the word. Yeah.
I mean, I used to be kind of compulsive of picking up bumper stickers, posters, and buttons.
Smart.
I don't do it so much anymore. I sort of pick them up kind of sporadically, but there was a day I had it all, really.
I had a Fenway Park McCarthy poster. When McCarthy ran, what was that, 72? Oh, you have that? Yeah, well, I had a whole poster of, he was doing a rally and it ripped in my travels, because otherwise that would have been worth a lot, I think.
I actually have a Eugene McCarthy poster that says a breath of fresh air.
Oh, original poster.
Original poster, yeah.
Okay, so you got a few
I was looking for that one today, but there's enough upheaval around the house here. It's a little hard for me to find, but
yeah, this stuff's worth something. Yeah,
there is something.
Get rid of it. Yeah,
but just so to speak about some topical things. You know, up here on my little button collection here, something I got to thinking about a lot because of the events that happened in Washington on the 6th of January.
Unbelievable.
So up there, there are some buttons and other things from a time 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. When I was in Washington, D.C.
Oh, you were older?
No, okay. Old enough. Yeah, I was at the age of 15, not even 16 yet. And I was, at a protest, an anti-Vietnam War protest. On the steps of the United States Capitol. And it was a week where, I think not so much in the April 24th rally, but there were these sort of May Day activities.
What year was that?
1971.
Oh, I was there.
Yeah. I remember you. No.
It was this big crowd on the mall, right?
Big crowd with Country Joe and the Fish singing along. Yeah.
Mobilization for Survival. I had that poster too with the Picasso, the tank from.
I have a lot of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the reason why I got to thinking about that this week and last week was that, so I was a person who was there, quote, storming the Capitol, but not really.
No, we were on the mall. Yeah.
Right. But the thing is, it was a peaceful protest. But in the days surrounding that, leading up to it and afterwards, there was some, somewhat more, scuffles going on around Washington, D.C. as well.
I had friends that got tear gas.
Yeah. So the thing is that so why I got to thinking about it is that, so I'm an example of a person who was actually went to Washington for a protest. There was bad stuff happened, but I wasn't lumped in with everybody else. There was sort of, people were wise enough to make distinctions between the really problematic behavior and just.
And I don't think anyone had guns, protest. Did they? Did they have guns?
No. We were peaceniks. We were all hippies back then. So, you think about the various rallies and protests and whatever you've been on throughout your life.
Yeah.
I've actually kind of reached a point now where I just have no interest at all in going to rallies of any kind anymore. Maybe standing away in the distance just to witness it a little bit.
The first one I went to in a long was the women's march right after he was elected, and we couldn't move for 4 hours. I was stuck in one place for four. It was so many people that I was there, but it was worth it. And I told you this, in a, that the police said it was like herding kittens.
I love it. Yeah. I love it.
I mean, maybe because of the pussy hats.
The hats, yeah, yeah, right.
And everyone, you know, there was some, you know, anarchists that happened, I think, the day before, but so, nothing like, I mean, it was, you know, just like amazing.
One thing that I do remember about going to rallies in 1971, of course, we were on a somewhat political, rather politically different turf than what happened a couple of weeks ago, yes. But yes. It was not a uniform group. The thing is, there were people like me who were there because we were approaching age 18. We were fearful of draft.
That's still going on. Right?
And whether we're going to run away to Canada or be drafted or whatever. It was sort of a life and death thing for a lot of people.
You were a male. Yeah, you were.
Yes. You know, there was a lot of concern. But the thing is that, you know, all of the speech making, whatever, there were labor unions pushing labor issues. There were gender, even then in 1971, people pushing some gender related issues, which was kind of early in terms of that kind of rhetoric at the time. So in other words, it wasn't all there because people are there exclusively because they were opposing the Vietnam War. It was an opportunity.
No, it always brings out a lot of different.
Yeah, yeah. So I've sort of learned my lesson then that whenever there are big rallies, don't expect that everybody's of one mind, you know.
Well, it was at the Women's March. I mean, mostly, yeah, well, where I was.
I'll agree with you on that. Yeah. Very issue specific. You know, you're completely right about that.
But yeah, I don't... crowds.
But
now.
A lot of the activities of last year, there were you know, very legitimate concerns about police violence.
I didn't do any of that. COVID. It's COVID.
Yeah. And then there's COVID. Time. And I then mean, there were people who had a kind of a more of a radical political agenda as well. So yeah. It's not like you can, whenever anybody try and sort of put everybody into a single basket, say, yeah, I think you really don't understand human beings. So, but anyway, it was interesting. But tomorrow, what time is the inauguration? It must be like an hour. Is it at noon?
They're probably going to start coverage around 10 or 11. I don't know, but I know it goes, there's going to be activities in the afternoon, but the actual, you're talking about swearing in, is probably around noon, I would
say. You know, it's normally, I wouldn't really focus so much on the hour
of
the day.
I'm going to watch it, yeah.
But, you know, because of the outgoing president and the hijinks and shenanigans.
He wants a whole send-off.
Right.
But that's going to be earlier. I hope they don't cover it.
But, you know, there is a legitimate reason for people to be actually focused on when does his presidential authority actually end?
When does
the clock strike to whatever so that what he says means nothing anymore?
I'm just saying he's releasing a farewell video. Well, I'll watch
that.
It
was done this afternoon. I didn't watch it.
Oh, was it? It's already been done.
Yeah. But the thing is that as many people have talked about, there's an anticipation of this gigantic flurry of late pardons.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And that could be interesting. It's been, for me, very interesting to kind of watch the kind of evolution of the Republican Party from being kind of fearful to step out of line to, hey, maybe we can step out of line here. And maybe we really are mad at this guy.
Tell that to the 150 Republicans.
I will
on the Electoral College.
If I live to be 250 years old, I will never understand.
I know
how that many
a legitimate election. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, you can make arguments about the appropriateness of election procedures, whatever, but that's not what that's about at this point.
No, and plus there were all those court cases. Give me a break. It fed what happened. It absolutely fed what happened. Yeah. And I hope they're all voted out, but who knows?
You know, the way I look at it is they won't all be voted out.
No, it's traditionally the other party.
But if they can be relegated to a fraction of the representative body, then that's fine.
At least in the Senate, you had half of the people that were going to object, Of course, two of them had lost. Although I don't know, Kelly Loeffler didn't do it, but I don't know if the other guy did, David Perdue. I don't know if he actually rescinded his vote. But
he couldn't because he couldn't be sworn in until the Georgia results were officially certified.
No, I'm talking about David Perdue.
Oh, Perdue, right. Yeah, you're right.
I don't know. I think he stuck to his guns where she, said.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, so anyway, we'll see. It's going to be interesting to see what happens in the opening days of the Biden administration.
Yeah.
He was seeing a lot of previews.
He's got a lot on his plate. Yeah.
There is a lot on his plate.
Oh, my God.
And I don't think it's exactly like herding cats, but the thing is that there are a lot of different mouths within the Democratic Party.
Oh, I would never even use that term at this point. That was all back then. No.
Right. Right. Oh. But the thing is, the whole
progressive. Yeah. Right.
Right. So, I mean, Biden arguably was elected because he was seen as more of a moderate, but it doesn't make the.
But you know what? But Robert, what happened at the Capitol 2 weeks ago?
That changes a lot.
I think that everybody, I mean, AOC, I watched her video thing and you heard different representatives talk about what they experienced. That shook people to the core. So I think they're going to unite in a way that at least
I am a little bit of a Pollyanna about this, but I think that when, you know, if you're in the same foxhole together with somebody who you didn't like before, you know, it kind of changes things. Yeah. And even Republicans and Democrats might actually kind of come together.
Well, some of them gave them COVID.
Unforgivable. Kind of.
I mean, you know, trying to say, please wear a mask. And then four people. I mean, come on. Yeah. Unbelievable. Yeah. And a couple of people died.
Yeah.
Around the country. They're all Republicans.
Right.
I mean, the ones that, you know, were in the electoral.
But here's, you know, in addition to what the agenda, the Biden agenda, how it really plays out, you know, we're only getting a preview right now.
Right.
So far, it seems pretty reasonable to me. But the other thing, too, is that this sort of virtual civil war that we're in the midst of, it's, you know, you can impeach Trump as they have again.
Yeah.
You might even convict him. Right.
That would be great.
But it's, you know, I think it would be great. I agree.
It would deny him certain things. Yeah.
Right. But the thing is, the problem goes beyond just the person.
Oh, well, of course. Let's at least get rid of the part.
I agree. I cut the head off first. Right.
Yeah. Right.
But
yeah.
The thing is that if you've got, you know, 70 plus million people who are feeling disaffected, even if it's because they were hoodwinked,
right,
I think you still need to somehow bring them along a bit and see if you can.
I know that in the latest survey, 60% of Republicans still think what happened was all right.
Or
still think the election. Yeah.
I think that number will continue to shift.
We'll see.
And it's, you know, honestly, it's not so much that I care about the party so much as the individuals, right? I mean, if you've got that many people sort of convinced that they're living in a country that's somehow working against them, that's not a prescription for good times.
No, it isn't.
And
I hope that mellows out. I hope that.
I think that's where leadership comes in. And, you know, prior to January 6th, the rhetoric from Joseph Biden was actually really spot on in terms of wanting, you know, expressing sincerely wanting to be president of all Americans. And I, you know, it's kind of hard to use that rhetoric after what happened, but I think we still need to go that route.
But also, like what he did, you know, earlier with the memorial, he acknowledges the loss of so many Americans. Where has Trump been since before the election? But since the election, have you heard one word about the mounting death toll? Anything to do with coronavirus? Nothing.
You know,
that's unforgivable. No morality at all.
He is in a class by himself. He really is.
And all of his, what do you call them?
My only reservation about impeaching his ass is that I just want him gone, and I don't want him in the news. And I don't like the fact that he's managed to somehow be front and center in the news.
He's got $200 million in this pack. He can use whatever he wants. And
I know
fools that send him money. Oh God.
Yeah. Anyway. So anyway, I'm going to sort of try my best to get beyond it in spite of it all.
Yes.
But boy, what an amazing couple of weeks this has been.
I the hits keep coming, and I don't know how much more, you know, between the COVID and then what's happened to our government, and it just, I mean, do they say things come in threes? Please tell me there's already been a three. Oh, climate change, fires, and floods. All right. So it's been three. Let's look beyond. Okay.
Let's look beyond.
Oh, my God.
No, I think really we have no good choice other than to
keep going,
move forward and look for better times. And,
so, Robert, how is our fair city doing?
Our fair city is hard for me to understand sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, I'm on the COVID front, for example. Yeah. You know, I want to believe that everything we're doing is right, but mm-hmm. the numbers kept climbing steadily. Yeah,
but not compared to some.
Not compared to some places. So I think largely the fact that we have, as we said a couple of weeks ago, straight line linear growth as opposed to taking off exponential growth, I have to view that as a relatively good thing. There are some indications, not only here, but in other places around the country, that we may see some leveling. We may already be seeing some peaking.
Here?
Here and elsewhere in terms of new hospitalizations, number of people hospitalized, it really crested. Now there are going to be some in the places. I'm scared to death about Los Angeles area.
That's been awful.
Really awful. But the thing is in many places, it's actually, you know, it's been dropping, you know, some of the indicators have been dropping. And that, but then comes the, well, what happens if the more contagious variant comes in? Because
well, it's more contagious, but it's less lethal. They say
maybe so, but the thing is that
more people will get it.
You know, one of the things that I think is clear enough, and because you hear the term super spreader event, it's that it's I think the spreading of this very much is related to events and putting a lot of people together and whatever. It's not
in
just
closed
sort of
spaces.
Yeah, it's somewhat different than just catching a cold or the flu. And
Right.
And so having a significantly more contagious variant actually kind of puts a lot of other things on the table. So the faster that vaccination rollout can happen, the better.
Well, now how do you know, I've been thinking about this, well, other people. I would like to see, at least in Cambridge, the teachers and the kids vaccinated before me, and I am over an age when I would be in front of them. I can take care of myself. I really want to see the kids back in school. I want to see the teachers feel safer because I know there's right now, it's not good stuff between parents and teachers. And there's a school committee meeting going on right now. And I know that 100 people spoke at the last school meeting. So and it's contentious. It's really not good.
Though I didn't hear it.
I have not paid enough attention to, I only hear about
Well, I mean, the superintendent of schools has announced
he's resigning.
He's going to resign at the end of the school year.
Right.
And you have to believe that just the wear and tear of this whole crisis is.
Well, also apparently there was going to be a vote, maybe of no
confidence.
A vote
of no confidence or whatever.
Not just him, the school committee too.
Yeah, I think that school committee member, I mean, I'm not here to defend them. I'm not here to defend this school superintendent. I really don't know enough about it to accuse or defend. But the thing is that I do recognize, and I think a lot of people also have to recognize, and in a crisis like this where nobody had any expertise going into it, nobody had any particular skills about how to handle this going in. They've been essentially stuck between a rock and a hard place. So.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a school committee member, I mean, you know, I certainly hope you make all the right decisions, but it's, I recognize how you, that you almost, it's almost a little bit of a coin flip as about what is right and wrong here. You know, it's, you know, the, and I think the fact that there was one person, school personnel, forget the gentleman's name who died.
Right. I saw that. Ravenous. James
Ravenous,
And
you know, when
but they still don't know if he died through contact at the school.
He may have contracted it elsewhere. Yeah. It's true,
he was of an age. Is,
but you know, these are not rational matters. These are also emotional matters, and you know, so I can completely understand how teachers could just feel scared.
I understand, but it's not all teachers.
I agree,
and it's not all parents of kids that don't want their kids. I just feel like. It hurts me. It really does because it's the older kids that I think really need that. I mean, the younger kids I think are back in school. Some right if they up to third grade, they went back January 11th.
I think they were. Yeah, you know, I mean,
they
I
did.
should Yeah.
The far as I know, they haven't stopped that.
I know that there were some changes in plans kind of suddenly.
Right. And it's not all the kids either. It's only maybe half of them, but.
Right, exactly. But the thing is that what you said about let's vaccinate the teachers, I would put them front of the line.
They are essential workers. They are frontline workers.
There is a multiplier effect here.
Yes. In that
the more you can have teachers feel confident in going back to work, the simpler it is to actually have the children go back to school, which then relieves so many families of the burden of having to handle, you know, basically do their children's education at home. And many people can't go to work, even if they could go to work, because they're responsible for childcare. And the thing is that if you can basically take care of the teachers, I think you're addressing multiple sectors of the population all at once.
If they go along with it, hopefully, because you know, you have a lot of nurses, you know. So the thing is, I really think they should be, I don't know where they are in terms of the line. I don't know if Cambridge can make their own determinations, but I, for one, get them vaccinated. Because I think it's more important for the teachers than it is for the students. Although I'd like to see the students also.
Well, in terms of mortality.
Right, because younger people they're not filling up the hospital beds with ventilators and stuff.
Exactly. So, you know, one other thing that, you know, I'm reminded of how, remember back in April, remember it was all about-
April?
Remember that?
When we thought it would just be a few more weeks.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's just going to disappear. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's-
But remember how everybody was in a panic state about masks, even getting masks. You know, Bob Kraft was having airplanes shipped in from China.
PPP equipment.
Right.
So
I keep thinking about that because I'm reminded how we didn't have any kind of infrastructure in place to actually deal with a crisis when it happens.
Yeah.
And we were kind of inventing it and getting the systems all along. Now, you know, people are making masks and putting out products and whatever. You know, it's sort of like it took a while to, you know, turn the ship around, but then it took off. There's a lot of concern lately about the rollout for vaccinations, completely legitimate concerns. And you know, and people are starting to point fingers at everybody. But I think you're going to start to see something similar, which is that once they start getting the hang of it, it's probably going to go very well.
Well, I have to commend Cambridge for getting the testing thing. I mean, they got that going far superior to many other communities that you could get it every day, you know, everyday testing. So, the difference with this is that it's a two-shot vaccine. So that's a lot of logistical stuff.
And the thing is that before too very long, there'll be at least a third good option. The Pfizer vaccine. Well, actually, it's AstraZeneca.
Pfizer and Moderna.
Johnson. Right. I think one is 21 day for the second. You got to wait 21 days for the second.
Moderna
shot.
Is longer.
That's 28
Pfizer
days.
Pfizer is 3 weeks. Yeah, something 4 weeks. Yeah, whatever.
Right, but the thing is this other one.
It's one shot.
Johnson, one shot, and you can store it in the fridge, and.
Moderna also doesn't have those deep. Cold storage things.
Not as much, right? Wow. Exactly. But the thing is that once these various options all start rolling out and you have multiple venues for distribution, including things like CVS stores, and I heard today Starbucks, at least in one state, they volunteered to make them available.
But not their baristas, I hope. No,
not their baristas, but the thing is the sites, and there are many of them. You know, the old joke about there being a Starbucks on every corner. That'll be pretty damn convenient, won't it?
Well, no, the CVS actually has already used their personnel to go to nursing homes, although they're pharmacists and whatever. So they've been a big part of this whole thing.
So I think there are, as long as they can keep up the production.
Yes. Well, that's it, the production.
Ramp it up, get the production really rolling in here. I think we may actually go from a stuttering start to, you know, slipping into third and fourth gear, and then I think we'll do well.
Okay. Do you want to show your graph in this segment?
Yeah. So let's just do a little quick shot here of where we stand. right now in Cambridge. Again, there was some data glitches over the weekend. I informed them they've corrected it now.
You informed them? Oh my God, there's another death since yesterday. Ooh.
There was another death, yeah. So the thing is, actually that was one that was recorded yesterday, but the information they put out yesterday was wrong, and only in the evening did it get right. Really? But it's not getting worse. It's just continuing to grow at a steady rate. There is some belief that it may be slowing, that growth may be slowing.
Do we know where that occurred?
And I would just want to point out here that from yesterday to today, well, over 2 days, there's actually been a drop of 113 people who are considered active cases, 62 in 1 day. So the number of active cases are dropping. Now, how one interprets the graph here that shows the 7 day averages, as you can see, the situation in April is nothing compared to what it's been recently.
Right.
And then the question is, we sort of thought, oh, it's going to get better, but then it didn't. Then it was going to get better, then it didn't. Then it's going to get better.
What is that really high point right there?
It was one day when there was just 61 came in, and it's averaging in for the 70 averages. So it's a bit of an anomalous situation, but it did happen. Right. So now, my personal intuitive sense is that this will start to decline now, but we don't know that, and we don't and we certainly can't say that it's due to vaccinations yet, because the effects of the vaccination program have yet to be seen. But as I think we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, at some point you'll actually start to see measurable data to show the role that the vaccine is playing in this pandemic.
And you know what has been good? That they said, because the flu season is milder, or people are not getting as much, probably because of masking.
Yep.
The kids don't have to have the shot now to go back to school. So that's good.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. So anyway, let's not be Pollyanna about it. But the thing is, there are some reasons to be somewhat hopeful about
it. Okay, we have about 10 seconds left till our second segment.
Right. So we'll come back and we'll get down to some more of the local
nitty-gritty stuff, of city council stuff.
See you then on Cambridge Inside Out.